Hello, this is Word of Eternal Life by Pastor Chaco Varghese of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida.
Last time we talked about the Mount by Jesus Christ as described in Matthew chapter 5 from 5 to 7, where we stopped at the prefer, therefore, as our Heavenly Father is perfect. What Christ Jesus asked the people to do, and if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Pagans do things just to satisfy themselves. But God warned us not to be like pagans who does not have a living God who they worship, but Jesus Christ warned our yes is like yes, no is like no. Matthew chapter 5 verse 47 says, and you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? So which tell you, don't you greet a stranger? Don't you greet somebody who never met? Which is what fulfill the covenant, the will of the Father. Do not even pagans do that. They just greet only their family or their friends. So Jesus says, be perfect, therefore as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Our Heavenly Father loves everyone equally. No differentiation between any culture, any tradition, or any race. God sent Jesus Christ with a love. Those who love Him, He will love others. Without any respect of love, with what you receive from this person, that's not what God is looking for. He wants you to love everyone equally. Now here, Jesus teach the method of what God's love is. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. Life everlasting. This is what people need to be eager about. But many people, a lot of people are not interested in their life eternal. Life is something living, active, moving. This is what life is all about. Without life, we don't exist. But God created life in us. He gave us life. Now we lost it eternally by sinning against God. God has laws, rules, regulations, principles that God expects everyone He created follow the laws, rules, and regulations. Now the trees and plants grow with its own established laws. God, they produce fruits. They are not thinking. A plant is not saying, hey, I give fruits only to this person and that person. Anybody cultivate a good fruit tree will receive the fruit. Even in the forest, even in the jungles, trees are being consumed, the leaves, herbs, by the animals, regardless of who it belongs to. God gave fame plentifully, without any limitation. So God expects man love others with limitation. There are boundaries for love. One need to love which is designated in a different levels of love. So that is not the subject right now. So God want His fulfill His laws. Many of the times I was faced by somebody who says, Jesus Christ came to abolish the law. They accused him for that. They crucified him for that. But they could not hold him in the grave because he was the Son of God who incarnated in human flesh. He was God inside himself. His spirit was God's spirit. Our spirit is not God's spirit. Our spirit is human spirit. But we have God's spirit in us when we accept God, when we receive eternal life, when we received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. You are a dead person until you receive Jesus Christ in spiritually. Your spiritual death is not what God expects from you, which passed on to you from Adam and Eve's sin. The day you eat the fruit, you will die. That's what God told to Adam and Eve. And then God made a way for them to be returned to spiritual life. The spiritual life is what you receive when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because you need somebody more powerful, spiritual powerful, who was the creator of the world to give you life back again. When Adam and Eve sinned, they sinned and they lost the glory of God. Their external protective covering of shining, glorious, heavenly clothing, which is what they covered with. Once they sinned, they lost it immediately. The same moment they became seems as they were naked. Well, they were originally naked, but they were covered by the glory of God. You ever heard the language saying that fallen from glory? It's a biblical terminology which tells you they had glorious covering. So when they fell from the glory, they fell from their external body protection covering, glorious covering, plus they also lost the spiritual eternity. So they will die and they go to a place God decided, which was set apart before the creation of the human being. God prepared a place called hell, and that was prepared for the covenant broken, the challenging cherub, the Lucifer and his angels followed him. God did not give him a second chance because angels don't have a second chance from God. They are spiritually, Spirit of God dwelled in them, but they challenged God and though God put them apart for punishment. So the punishable angelic hosts of heaven, they were thrown down to earth and God prepared a time for their punishment. And they are free, a set of them are free, a set of them are chained to eternal damnation, and some are set free. The ones set free, God has a plan for them. They will have to report to God, according to the book of Job. If you get afflicted by satanic evil, there is a reason. Sometimes God uses them to admonish people. Sometimes God uses them, but they will have a punishment at the end. God prepared the hell for them. Now, when we go back to the principles of God, Jesus talked the same principle in the Ten Commandments. One time I was in a conversation with a young Jewish girl, beautiful lady. She talked to me concerning Christ because he was asking, where are you traveling to? Where are you going and what are you doing? I said, well, I am an evangelist, I am a preacher. I am going over a certain place, another country to preach. So she had a big question. The question was, didn't Jesus came and turned all the commandments around and told the Jewish people not to follow them? I said, what in the world are you saying? Is that anywhere written like that? Unless it was a misinterpretation of the Jewish Pharisees and scribes of his time who were not following the law. Rather, they were burdening people with additional pressure and weight of the law. So the law was created for a purpose, but always law is applied where need to be applied. So Jesus tried to correct them. They did not like it. They said, you, a carpenter's son, you came from a fishing village in Nazareth. How would you know knowledge? Where did you get this from? But these people who were criticizing, questioning Jesus, they did not know he was the Son of God because they lost their faith in God. They were just following the traditions. Like today, many Christians follow traditions, same way the Jewish people followed. The traditionist will not get to heaven. Christianity is not a religion of tradition. It's not a religion, first of all. It's a way how you can be connected with God by simple faith in God. It is by the grace of God you receive the faith, that by that faith you will be saved in believing in the right person, which is Jesus Christ. So others did not give that opportunity because they did not have a way. The other religious leaders, so-called, who planted many religions for the benefit of their, or they were expecting to do something good to the people of humanity, but they invented different things. They invented yoga, they invented meditation, and mysticism is something called you believe in something doesn't even exist. You know, it's like you look in the, you travel in the wilderness and you look far away, you see some images. It's a mirage. It's only a reflection of the sand and the sunlight going on it. You feel like there is a beautiful garden. There is plants and trees and water. It's only a mirage. So people look after the mirages and imagination of God, and they are not finding it. They're looking for peace, comfort, and joy. Now, Jesus offered all this in real, practical way. If you accept him as confess your sins, you will receive peace and joy and gladness, eternal life. Now, in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. So many times, the religious people do their acts in front of people so that everybody see they have done it. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So you already received it here, praise and thanks and everything from other people. So when you give it to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. In his days, this is what was happening in Israel. Not talking about any other nation. It was God's own people who were given the law and the covenant that they keep God's true commandments, but they were doing is just for the personal glory. But Jesus said, I'll tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. See, this is their reward. Someone praise him. Someone glorify their name. Someone say this and this person did so many things for the people. But that was their reward. They have no reward in heaven. And you don't publicize, okay? But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That has to be that private, and so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what you have done in secret will reward you. See, you're doing something for innocent, poor, who are needy, what we call them, needy people. they need some help. You do them a needy, help those needy, you have a reward in heaven. God of the universe, God of all the creatures, Father of everything, He is going to give you reward. Praise God. Next thing Jesus touched base with is the prayer. This is one of the most beautiful part of your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Praying. What is prayer? It's a spiritual communication. Your heart is sharing with your Father in heaven. Now, somebody who does not believe there is a Father in heaven, you will not have an opportunity to believe in Him or to speak with Him. In reality, we have a Father in heaven because every creatures are made by somebody whom we call the Father, especially humanity. The Bible says, God created us in His image and likeness. It is not a shape or size, because God, except Jesus Christ, who took the human form, don't have a shape. He is the Spirit God. His presence in every part of the universe. No one can hide from Him. He is a God who sees. He's a spiritual Spirit God. Praise the Lord. So this is, somebody cannot hide from God. So people who say there is no God, they want to hide from God because they cannot accept it, because they are going to be guilty. If you are guilty before God because of your sins. So sin is something everybody is doing. Some do small, some do big. Everything is called sin. One word for all sins. The same word for murder, same word for theft, same word for adultery, same word for lying, same word for jealous, hatred, anger. No matter what you do in hiding or in trying to hide, those are all sins. Not loving is also come to the fact is also sin. And when you pray to pray, do not be like the hypocrites. See, Jesus talked about the hypocrites in chapter 6, just a few words behind, in verse 2 and 3 of chapter 6. Now in chapter 5, He says, do not pray like a hypocrite, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. See, this is the fact happened at the time of Jesus was in the earth. When Jesus started preaching, somewhat in AD 29, approximate date of time of the preaching of Jesus, occurred right after John the Baptist was arrested. See, John the Baptist started preaching in the 15th year of the reign of the Roman Emperor Caesar Julius Augustus. So Caesar Augustus, when he was ruling, the 15th year when he took over his ruling authority, by 15th year, John's message started. John the Baptist, who was the forerunner, the one who came ahead of Jesus to proclaim that the Son of God is coming, and the one who was before me, I have been told by God the Father, such and such individual, identifying events discussed earlier. And you can read them in the Gospel of John, Matthew, and Mark, and Luke. So those events in the beginning chapters referring to the coming of Messiah. The coming of Messiah was the greatest thing ever happened in the history of the world, because the world needed a savior. The word Messiah, or in Hebrew, Mashiach, is the person who the world was waiting for. The Israelites were told to keep the covenant, the Torah and the law and the prophets, and they have told over and over and over a Messiah will be coming. This was first told in the Garden of Eden, which was to the Adam and Eve. At the moment they were removed from the Garden of Eden, this was their promise. A woman's son will come, or a woman's child will come, happen to be a boy. Now, a virgin shall be with a son. Some 4,000 years later, maybe 3,000, somewhere approximately, between 3 and 4, a prophet named Isaiah proclaimed, he screamed out in Judah, saying, "Listen, and Israel, there will be a virgin with a child." See, that woman's child now is being clarified by Isaiah that this is going to be a son, a virgin's son, not a man's son. It's going to be God's son. So he incarnated in the flesh. So what he's saying here is that when you pray to the Heavenly Father, you pray not to publicize yourself. It does not mean you don't pray in public, but you don't publicize it, just people to see you are a praying person. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. See, God is a spirit. He is not visible by your naked eye, but he is being seen by your spirit, your spiritual communication. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. If you repeat the same thing 20,000 times, it's not going to be a benefit. But if you say one word from your heart, honestly, faithfully, by the will of God, that prayer will be answered. So your prayer has to be in secret. Never, it has to be public. That's not what Jesus said. But he said, comparing to the public declaration of the Pharisees at the time, they were doing it for publicity, but that you should not do that. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Your Father in heaven knows what you need even before you ask him. Your heart is not hidden. Your thoughts are not hidden. Your ideas are not hidden from your mind to God. Everything is open, okay? Even the tomb, somebody buried inside it, is not hidden from God. The bottom of the ocean is not hidden from God. None of those places. In Psalms 139, even the Jewish king, prophet, David, servant of God, he prayed, "Lord, you know where I am sitting. You know when I am standing. Even I go to the bottom of the ocean, you know where I am." Nothing can hide from God. So God knows every secret of your life. Every secret of your life, sometimes the secrets you never told your husband or your wife, you're keeping secretly, and you have a separate something going on, if there is. All those things not hidden from God. Now we'll hear more about those things from the life of Jesus in his ministry as we continue moving. Now verse 9, chapter 6 of Matthew, to chapter 6, verse 14. 9 to 14 is the most wonderful prayer, the prayer which is real, the foundation of all the prayers Jesus taught his disciples. This is the foundation of all the prayers. Every prayer in the world includes, you cannot escape from this prayer. Prayers of great men of God, Saint Augustine confessed, and this is the type of prayer. You know, many other men of God in the history, in the ancient of time, after Lord Jesus Christ, they have used this prayer application. See, John Wesley's prayer, Martin Luther King, Martin Luther King Jr., and so many servants of God who had applied this prayer in their regular prayer life. And in this prayer, as we go through it, Jesus said, this is then how you should pray. This is how you should pray. This is a outline, a base for all the prayers. Now here it says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. See, every time people start praying, see, they start jumping into the subject before giving praise, glory, and honor to the God in heaven. But Lord Jesus said, when you start praying, you call your Father in heaven and you say, Hallowed be your name, which means you're going to praise him. You thank him, glorify him for his love, for his greatness. So far, how much you have loved you, that is what, how you glorify your Father's name. Then you pray, second prayer is your kingdom come. Your kingdom come, Father. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom will come. That he is faithfully believing that your kingdom come. It's not all grammatical here. Jesus is praying, God, Father, your kingdom come. He's asking. He's praying. Let that happen. Let the world, the whole world will become your kingdom. Now the question is it not God created all? But is it all subject to his dominion or authority? Yes, in overflowing, superficially, over, above everything, God rules over. But Satan controls the minds of heart of people. Satan controls the minds and hearts of so many millions and millions of people. He drives them wild, crazy, sinful desires, all the natures of evil. People are ruled, their hearts are ruled, not all the people of the world, the one who are not surrendered to God, the one who are not submitted their thoughts and action behavior to God and submitted to Jesus, accepting them as they are sinners. So those people who do not accept that Jesus is God and he is the savior of their soul, because the moment you believe in Christ, your soul will become eternally living with God. Your spirit, God's spirit will come into your heart and you will live with God forever. If you die, you will be resurrected. That's what Jesus offered. So anyone who dies, their soul will go to heaven with Christ. So if you pray that to Lord, forgive me my sins and confess and accept me as your child. I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God, who came, lived and died and rose again from the dead. You will be saved. May the Lord richly bless you. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast this morning. If you have any more questions or if you'd like to contact me, my email address is p like Peter, r like Robert, dot chackov like Victor at gmail.com. That is pr.chackov@gmail.com.
A1 Auto Care of Hope Sound is a WCNO corporate underwriter. Dave and Esther Morgan have been serving Treasure Coast motorists since 1986 with the best in automotive care. A1 Auto Care is located across the railroad tracks at the next crossing south of Bridge Road in Hope Sound. A1 Auto Care is available at 546-6667, where honesty is their only policy. That's 772-546-6667.
Start Smart Learning Center.